evening.
Good evening.
Got sound? Good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for this school. Thank you for Apostle. Thank you for the instructors that are teaching in this school, Father. Thank you for the students that are here in Darrow and those that are watching by internet. God, we want to accomplish your purpose in this school. We want to accomplish your will. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can properly escort us into the supernatural. So we yield to you. We thank you for all that you're going to say to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you shut that door for me, please? Thank you, sir. Last week, first of all, did they tell you all about the text messaging group? Did some of them heard about it? Some EIWTC got text 41411, is it? They told you everybody? Okay, I want to make sure. 411 is the text messaging group. Those who watch by internet, 41411, you would text in all caps EIWTC, and you should get a message back, and you'll be joined into the Training Center text messaging group, which will keep you abreast of any changes that are made because we're in hurricane season. Sometimes we'll have to cancel class, and that'll be a good way for us to be able to contact you besides your cell, besides email, or trying to call you. So you have the text message, all right? If you would, turn with me to Habakkuk 2 and 4. We'll take off where we was last time. before we get into our textbooks, I had a couple of words that we need to redefine apostolically. One word we began to deal with last week very heavily, and it was the word faith. Matter of fact, turn with me to Hebrews 11th chapter, the first verse, because I want to make sure we're all on the same page with this. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the first verse. This is the famous faith scripture. All right. And so last week we discovered that faith is not about us. It's not about what we want. It's not about what faith can bring to us. So it's not saying that faith can't bring to us what we want. But the objective of faith is not to get us what we want. Our objective of faith, the objective of faith is to please God. If you look at Hebrews 11 and 6, it says, but without what? Or but what? Let's see what we can say. Without what? Without knowing what God wants, it's impossible to please him. Without knowing what he wants and being able to accomplish it, listen to that, internet, it's impossible to please him. So when we go to that first verse, Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, now faith or now my assignment is the substance, is the stuff, is the correlated actions that we take that brings to pass the dreams of God. Because hope is nothing more than a dream, future goals. So my obedience to what God, because remember now, here's what you have to understand. God did this on purpose. He did this on purpose because he loved man so much. He would not do anything in earth realm until one of us give him the okay to do it. He won't do it. So that means that God sometimes is held up by us. Things that God want to do. The reason why it took Jesus so long to get here was because of man. There are things that God wants to do, but if we don't obey him, then we hold up some of his dreams from taking place. So we see now faith is the substance, or it brings to reality the dreams of God, and that last part of that scripture is what belongs to us. And it's the evidence of things not seen. So when we obey God and do what God has asked us to do, we're bringing to pass God's dreams, and it is evidence that what we desire is on the way. Amen. See, what you must understand, God is not Santa Claus. He's not this God that's just going to drop in your lap all that you want when you want it. Why is that? The reason why is because there's a level of maturity that has to take place. Because see, God knows everything you want. He knows everything that you need to have. He knows everything that you're desiring. But some things we just ain't ready for. And so God takes us through a maturation process so that when we obey him, we can receive those things and not be thrown off. What I mean by thrown off, not continuing to do what it took to get us where we at that point. Is that making sense? Yes. So other words, our heart has to be turned toward him and what he wants. Again, go to Matthew 6:33. These are the scriptures that we went over last week. I'm just going over again because we're going to go a little further tonight with the word faith. And we're going to tie the word faith to grace because we got to redefine grace. All right. We have to redefine grace as it pertains to God, not how it pertains to us. Are you seeing this?
Yes.
All right. So Matthew's the 6th chapter and the 32nd verse. I'm going over this again because I need this to sink in. I need this to sink in because what we've been taught religiously about faith is that faith is what calls us to get things. It's the purpose of it is to get things. Name it and claim it. All right. If I make this confession as long enough and as many times, I'm going to call that thing in. But what about what God wants? Because Matthew 6:33 gives us the formula to how we're going to get everything we desire. Seek ye what?
First,
the kingdom of God, or another way to put it is God's ways of doing things. This is faith defined. This is faith defined. Seek ye what?
First,
God's ways of doing things and his righteousness, which righteousness is a position. All right. But the problem with just having it as a position is what do I do in this position? What it means? What's the purpose of me being in right standing with God? What it means being in right standing with God is I'm put back in the same position that Adam and Eve were in before they sinned, which means I can operate like God. I can think like God. I can do what God would do if he was in this place, which lets me know that I can actually accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. So seek ye first God's ways of doing things. And another way to say his righteousness is to doing it his way right. Yeah. All right. Now, let's explain what I mean by his way right. His way right means this. We all know it's right to give, right? We know it's right to tithe. What happens is when we start trying to redefine what is right. So if God speaks to us and tells us to sow a certain amount and we don't do it, and we give another amount, is it wrong that we gave?
No.
But we ain't do what he said.
Right.
So we can't expect God to reward us on disobedience.
Amen. Amen.
Is this making sense?
Yes.
So that's why it has to be seeking first the kingdom of God, God's ways of doing things. His ways of doing things is if I want to receive a harvest, I got to first what?
Sow,
right? That's his ways of doing things, but then I must do it his way right. So that means, listen to me, that means that now I have to be getting instructions from God.
Amen.
Romans 10:17. What's another word for faith?
Assignment.
So everywhere you see the word faith, you can replace it with the word assignment. So Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17 says, so then cometh by
hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
Now here's, I explained this a little bit last week. I'm going to go over it again because this has to sink in. A lot of times we try to understand an Eastern Hemisphere gospel written in the Eastern Hemisphere, meaning it was written in the Middle East, meaning it was written, it wasn't written in America. All
right.
So a lot of times we try to take our Western Hemisphere understanding and try to apply it to Eastern Hemisphere written word. So what we have to do is a lot of times we have to study to understand what this scripture is really saying, because according to religion, it says that so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So on the surface, the word of God, we think in the Bible. But when you really research this word, the word, it actually means what? Rhema. As compared to logos. Logos is the written word of God, something that has been said. Rhema is the live or spoken, revealed word of God, something that's fresh. So now watch this. So now we read the scripture again. So then my assignment comes by hearing and hearing by fresh words from God. So that means that's instructions from God giving me what to do. Is this making sense? So my assignment brings to reality the dreams of God. I have to pursue it first. Go back to the 32nd verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew, because I want to put you at ease. I'll put you at ease about faith producing what you want. I want to put you at ease because that's a tough pill to swallow, because we've been taught for so long to name it and claim it. Right. And in our process of naming it and claiming it, we forgot to tell the part in between naming it and claiming it what we're supposed to be doing. Bagging it and grabbing it, you know. all those things were wonderful when they were taught. But once we grow, we got to grow. So now we got to ask the questions. If faith is named, it's just about naming and claiming it. Why I ain't getting everything I'm claiming? Why I'm not getting everything I'm claiming? It's because there's something that's missing. Are you seeing this? So in that 32nd verse, it begins to talk about our Heavenly Father knows that we have. Now I need you to sit there and stew in that for a while. Need. Not just say we have need. Listen to that a minute. Not only do we have needs, but we have needs of all these things. See, the Gentiles seeking after this stuff. And of course, what are Gentiles seeking after? Money, house, clothes, the good life, luxury, right? Our Heavenly Father knows we have need of all those things. Are you seeing this? But then that third verse puts us in perspective, because it says but. But means the 32nd verse is no longer real to you. That ain't your focus. That's God's focus. Because what it says, the Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. So ain't no sense to be focusing on that. I need to be focusing on what he wants. Because when I figure out what he wants and I begin to accomplish what he wants, what the bottom of the 33rd verse says? What things? The thing that was talked about in the 32nd verse. Are you getting this? So now we understand that my faith is not just relegated to just trying to get me what I want. The original purpose of faith is to get God what he wants. And when I get God what he wants, God turns around and gives us what we want. Is that making sense? Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those that do what? Matthew 6:33. Is this making sense? And so apostolically, we have to understand that faith is about God more than it is about us. The disciples asked Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus turned around and said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, what that mean? That he was saying it's specific. Watch this. It doesn't matter how big you think your faith needs to be or how little you think it is. If you can just obey God. Watch this. Obey God when it's insignificant. It'll produce more than what you think. Just the fact that you're obedient. Is this making sense? Now, turn me to Mark the 11th chapter. God when you're walking in your assignment, God will always provide everything you need.
Amen. Yes, he does.
See, when you can kind of tell when somebody is out of the will of God. Because when you're out of the will of God, it's harder to get things to you. Even though God wants you to have it, but he can't give it to you in that state because he's then reinforcing your disobedience. Is that making sense? All right, well, I'll tell you, Mark 11, 24. Go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Come on. Hebrews 10. Chapter 10, verse 36. For you have need of patience that what? Wait a minute. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. What it says? After you've done the will of God? After you've done the will of God, what's supposed to happen? Now there's a word there that makes that still might. Now what is the condition? The condition is not based on your efforts. The condition is based on what you want. All right, give me, watch this. God gives you instructions. You do it. You're obeying, right? But you don't want nothing. So God will give you. So there's nothing wrong with desiring. I just don't go after. If I don't desire it, then if I delight myself in the Lord, Psalms 37:4. If I delight myself in the Lord, what does it say? He'll give me what? Right? Delight means I'm going after what God wants. I'm happy with what he's happy with. Right? And I delight myself in the Lord. He's going to give me the desires of my heart. But if my heart ain't got nothing in it, I don't want nothing. Heart meaning soul. If I don't ever think about nothing. If I don't ever think about what I want. If I don't ever think about what I want, God ain't going to know what I want. Is this making sense?
Yes.
So when I delight myself after I've done the will, mm-hmm. not before, but after, mm-hmm. I might receive the promise. Might meaning depends on what I want. So you need to be desiring some stuff.
Amen.
I'm not saying you shouldn't desire stuff. I'm saying you shouldn't go after it. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Hey, go back to Mark 11. When you're walking in what God has called you, and this is, I'm explaining this to you so you can understand as we get further, we start talking about covenant, we start talking about the apostolic, you're going to find out that a lot of times one of the first things God is going to do, and you'll see this throughout the Bible, as soon as God opens somebody's eyes, born again, as soon as they find out about the truth, the first thing he does is connect them with somebody who knows what they're doing.
Right.
He told Elijah to look for Elisha because God had already touched Elisha's heart. Right. So therefore, God was putting Elisha with Elijah, who had been walking with God.
Right.
I want you to understand something. The reason why faith, understanding your perspective of faith has to change and understand it's more about God than about you. It's because there's some things that God is going to tell our leaders to do that we're going to have to walk out.
Right.
There's some things that God, and if And if my focus of my faith is all about me, then I'm not even going to be paying attention to those instructions. So if I'm not paying attention to those instructions, then I'm stuck in verse 33 because I'm not going to get to the bottom part of that of the 33rd verse. I'm always be confessing. I'm always be believing God and nothing happening because I don't know Hebrews 10:36, that after I've done the will of God, I might receive the promise. Nowhere in the Bible, there's only one place in the Bible you're going to see somebody get something beforehand. And that was in the garden. And yeah, what happened? Your works don't produce your benefits from God. But what your works will do is manifest the will of God. Your works won't produce the will of God, but it will manifest it. See, it's God working through us to do of his good pleasure and his will, right? But if I don't know what he wants, I can't hear his voice, then I can't obey him. Is this making sense? Mark the 11th chapter. Watch this. Let's see. I'm going to skip and I'm going to start. I'm being in the 11th chapter, but I'm going to skip because I want you to see this whole process. Chapter 11, verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples, Jesus. And he said to them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye enter it, ye shall find a colt tied where a man never sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man said unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. All right. So we see this. Jesus is coming. Is coming into a certain city to get this colt. He's on mission for God. All right. If you look in that right in that first in the last verse in the 10th chapter, you'll see where he had just healed that woman. And he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. So Jesus is on business, right? So he's walking in his assignment. All right. All right. All right. Go further down to verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about all things, and now eventide was come. He had been ministering all day. All right. Eventide was come. He went out to Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was what?
Hungry.
All right. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if happily he might find anything thereon. Right. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. Now, wait a minute. We see Jesus on assignment. He's walking in faith. Right. He was hungry. He's seen a fig tree afar off. Now, the question is, because watch this now. At the end of that verse, it says that it was not time for figs. Right. Because it wasn't season for figs. So why would Jesus see that tree afar off, knowing it wasn't supposed to be no figs on it? Why would he come to that tree? Because of the leaves, right? So another question is, why would the leaves be on the tree? Because a fruit tree, if you ever have a fruit tree in your yard, you know that every time it has leaves on it, it got fruit. If it don't have leaves, it don't have no fruit. So here it is, Jesus able to see this tree afar off having leaves on it. So he automatically knew that it's supposed to have fruit, right? Now the question is, why would this tree supposed to have fruit out of season? Simply because God commanded it to. Why did God command this tree to have fruit? Because Jesus was hungry. See, when you're in your assignment, seek ye kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? Now, the reason why Jesus was able to curse the fig tree is because, watch this, the fig tree tried to deny Jesus his fruit. So now when this fig tree tried to deny Jesus his fruit, Jesus now had dominion over his tree to say, okay, you don't obey God, I curse you. You ain't doing this to nobody else. All right, y'all see this, right? Let's go to verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, remember now Jesus still on the sign because in between that, Jesus cleared out the temple. All right, you're not going to make my house a den of thieves. It's a house of prayer, right? Jesus still on the sign for God. So watch this. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering and said unto him, have faith. If your assignment comes from God. Are you seeing it? Well, Jesus said, like, well, how you was able to do that? Because my assignment comes from God. That fig tree was supposed to feed me and it didn't. So because it didn't, I have authority over it that it's not going to do that to anybody else. That's the kind of power you have with situations in your life. When you're in your assignment, life not going that way. Now you have the dominion to speak to that thing. Watch this. Verse 23. Watch this. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto. Now, wait a minute. I need you to see this word. It say to what? This mountain. What mountain was Jesus referring to? That fig tree. See, this scripture is not about all mountains. So you sometimes they got mountains that you ain't supposed to be messing with. That's why they don't listen to you. Because they're not in your assignment. But you want to use your name of Jesus, hocus pocus. And you want to show how deep and spiritual you are. So I'm going to step out of my assignment and get somewhere I ain't supposed to be. He said, for verily I say, for whosoever say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said, those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Not, watch this. That whatsoever is pertaining to this. It's not whatever you say. It's pertaining to this, pertaining to your assignment. So if you up there trying to speak to something that you ain't got no jurisdiction over. Because that's another word we're going to learn, jurisdiction. Because in the apostolic, there's jurisdiction, there's territories. There's certain places that you're supposed to be. Some places that you're not supposed to be. Some places that you have no authority in, have no business being there. We're going to deal with all this because a lot of times Christians, we figure we can go and do and say anything we want to anybody about anything. Some of that stuff ain't your business. And so now you get caught up like the seven sons of Sceva. Yeah. Where they say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? Because you out of your territory. You out of your jurisdiction. See, Jesus ain't cursed all the fig trees. Just that one. Are you seeing this? And why he cursed that fig tree? Because it was in the way of his assignment. So now really some situations in our life, we really don't have authority to speak to it until we understand our assignment. I can't speak to the situation until I get connected to who God has connected me to. Till I get in the apostolic house I'm supposed to be in. I'm not going to be able to, because this situation ain't paying no attention to me. Are you seeing this? Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Faith explained. Very specific. See, we go to loosen stuff. Some stuff you ain't got no debt. What you messing with that for? It ain't your territory. It ain't in your assignment. God ain't spoke to you about nothing but this. You see, this is why we have to understand faith is more about God than it is about us. Because a lot of times we won't take faith and try to make God do what we want him to do. We want God to obey us. God, I'm calling your word to you. God, I'm speaking this in existence. And God knows as soon as you get this in existence, you ain't going to act right. But when you're in your assignment, Jeremiah 29:11. Bear for me the scripture. God was talking to Jeremiah. But God is not a respecter of persons. He said to Jeremiah, he must be meaning talking to us too. Mm-hmm. What he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of
peace,
not of
evil.
To do what?
To give you an expected end.
So that means that God has already thought out and has a plan and has a path, an avenue for your life. So that means that everything that you could ever want and desire, God has already thought about it. Let me tell you a little secret. There's no shortages of nothing. No shortages of nothing. All right, let me prove to you why there's no shortages of nothing. All right. For any of us as children of God, listen to me in there. For any of us as children of God to believe there's a shortage of anything, we're calling God on the carpet and told him he did an incomplete job when he created the earth. Because when he created the earth, he had to have you in mind. Thousands of years down the road. And was going to have resources here for you. And not just resources to survive, but resources to thrive. So why would Jesus say, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly if there was any shortages? Is this making sense? So if there's no shortages and I'm not getting all that I desire, then I got to reanalyze my faith. Am I where God wants me to be? Watch this. Not only am I where God wants to be, but am I maturing? Are you seeing this? Because if I can't stay at the same level, I can't be at the level I was last year. I got to keep growing. Every day I'm getting closer to God. Romans 12, 1. You want to know the meaning of life? The meaning of life is the purpose of God. That's the meaning of life. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. For the purpose, fulfill the purpose of God. That's it. That's why you're here. You're here for no other reason. Don't try to get all philosophical on me. You're here to do what God has asked you to do. All the other stuff is bull. So if you are one of few people that can find out what God is asking you to do, where God has you connected, and see, a lot of you are where God has called you to be. A lot of you are where God has called you to be, but the problem is you're where God wants you to be, still trying to focus on you. Still trying to focus on how I'm going to get this. How I'm going to get that. See, if you just change your focus. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Go to Matthew, the sixth chapter. The whole chapter, sixth chapter, is written in red. Whole chapter written in red. That means what? Jesus talking, right? Lay not up yourselves, verse 19, up yourselves treasures up on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust or doth corrupt, and where the thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure, that's where your heart will be also, right? Let me skip ahead. Watch this. Verse 25. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. What you shall put on is not the life more than the meat, and the body in raiment. Now, that don't mean you don't get up in the morning and make sure you match it. That's not what that's saying. What it's saying is that you shouldn't be overly concerned. Right. If you got a nice pair of shoes you got, desire them. Like them. But don't break your neck trying to go get them if you ain't in a position to get them. Let them come to you. How do I get them to come to me? When I'm obedient. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
Watch this now. Watch what he says. He said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. They don't even know how to work the system. Neither do they reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Here's the scripture that everybody like to gloss over. But this scripture is real as it come. It's 27 verse. It's real as it come. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? See, let's break this. Let's say it another way. Situations we in, we got ourselves into them. Even if we didn't get ourselves into them, we can't get ourselves out of them. So why should I be focusing on where I'm at? What I should be focusing on, what God wants. Because when I focus on what God wants, it elevates me out of where I'm at. Jesus said in John the 15th chapter that he is the branch, he's the vine, we are the branches. So if we're the bad fruit, fruit is results from our instructions, us following instructions from God. If I'm the branch and I'm supposed to bear fruit, don't you think that the sap that's running the vine gonna run into the branches? So don't you think the branches are healthier because they're connected to the vine? Because through obedience, I'm connected to the vine. So therefore, the sap that runs through the vine runs through me. So that means the fruit I produce at the same time is making me a healthy branch. Healthy branch means it makes sure I have what I need, what I want, what I desire, make sure everything going around me is wonderful. See, because the worst thing, this is what Satan wants to do. Satan wants to distract you from doing what God is asking you to do. Because if he can distract you, he can get you to violate Matthew 6:33. If he can violate you doing Matthew 6:33, then he can go to God and say, God, they not obeying you. So God, you can't add nothing to them. And so if the focus of our faith or the understanding of our faith is not about what God wants, it's rather than what we want, then we stuck because we're trying to figure out why we ain't getting what we want when Satan has got us distracted off of what God wants. Listen to me. When you spend time with God and you begin to understand God and who God really is and what he wants you to have and what he has for you to do, God will move heaven, hell, and earth to make sure you live in large. I got proof to you. Watch this. Go to 2 Corinthians, the ninth chapter. Watch this. Then we're going to shift to the word grace because this scripture is going to let me do that. 2 Corinthians, the ninth chapter. Let me prove it to you. 2 Corinthians, the ninth chapter. And the seventh verse. We know this scripture. Every man according as he has purposed it in his heart, right? As he's decided it in his soul, as he's decided in his mind, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth what? A cheerful giver. Okay? Now watch this. Watch the next verse say. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficient all things may abound to every good work. Do y'all get this word, all grace? Yeah. All grace. Grace by itself is powerful. But did he say he's going to make all grace? Let's define the word grace. We know grace as unmerited favor. We know grace as favor. And we know those words. But another word to define grace is empowerment. Grace is an empowerment. So now, grace can no longer just be relegated to just being a cover for sin. See that message on hyper grace is erroneous. It's erroneous. Because right here, according to this scripture, God said, let every man purpose in his heart. So that means when you sin, you purpose it in your heart. It's your decision. So grace can't take effect till you make a decision. So that means if you want to do this, grace going to back off. If you want to sin, grace going to back off and let you do it. But if you decide, if you weak and I don't want to do this, that's when God sends grace to empower you not to do it. See, grace is the Hebrew, the Greek word for grace is charis. All right, so everywhere you see the word grace in the New Testament is the word charis. So it really doesn't change. The definition doesn't change. So grace really is an empowerment. So Paul say, by the grace of God, given by the grace of God. He's saying, by the empowerment of God, I could do this. You see this? So, but watch this. If I'm not in my assignment, I have no reason to be empowered. So I can't be walking around here talking about I'm walking in the grace of God and I ain't doing what God asked me to do. Because there's no need to be empowered if you ain't doing nothing. Romans, the 4th chapter. Verse 16. Therefore, it, meaning the promise, it is of what?
Assignment.
The promise is born out of my assignment. That's what it's saying. The promise, me receiving the promise is born out of my assignment. That it might be by grace. That it might be by empowerment. So that means you're empowered to do your assignment to receive the promise. Watch this. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Go to Galatians 3. Because I want you to understand how faith and grace works together. Because in the apostolic, you got to understand how grace and faith works together. See, so once again, grace is not about you. Now, mercy is about you. Mercy is all about you. Mercy is just God just saying, I ain't going to do to you. But grace is God empowering you to do what you couldn't do on your own. So grace and faith work hand in hand. It's making sense. What's the turn? Galatians 3. Watch this. We want to understand what it means when it says that it might be to all seed, not to only which is of the law, but to that which is also of the faith of Abraham. This is important. Galatians 3 and 13. A lot of people misunderstand what salvation really does. This 13th verse tells us what salvation does. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, verse 13 is what happens to you. All right? Okay, so the objective of salvation is not heaven. The objective of salvation is not heaven. Want me to prove it to you? You want me to prove it to you?
Yes,
I don't need to go to Bible to prove it to you. You still here?
Because
if the objective of salvation was heaven, as soon as you said, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life, poof. But you still here. So the objective of salvation is not heaven. So what is the objective of salvation? The objective of salvation is, watch this. And watch this, verse 13. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. Curse of the law. Who all knows what the curse of the law is? Death. Second death. Poverty. Sickness and disease. That's the three things that Jesus took care of. Everything bad that happens falls into those three categories. Mm-hmm. Second death is eternal separation from God. All right? We understand sickness and disease, and you understand what poverty is. Christ has redeemed us from those things. Now, if he redeemed us from those things, that means he redeemed us to something. This making sense? Watch this, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham, what? There it is again. Might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through. So what the scripture is telling us is, just because you're born again, everything ain't going to work out right. Everything ain't going to work out right just because you're born again. Watch this. Everything going to work out right because if I want the blessings of Abraham, I got to find out what the blessing of Abraham is and how do I receive the blessing of Abraham? All right, let's go to Genesis. Got two more minutes. We're going to finish here. Genesis 12. This is what the Apostle Paul is making reference to, the blessings of Abraham. Verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee. Listen, what verse 2 is important. And I will make of thee a great nation. God is talking to him, right? And he said, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3 is very important. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, unto all the families of the earth, to all the families of the earth be blessed. You see this? Yes. Let's just define something right quick. I will make of thee a great nation, verse 2, and I will empower you to prosper. I will make you successful. And make thy name great, and thou shalt be an empowerment to prosper. All right. Thou shalt be an empowerment to prosper. All right, watch this. Why is it important that we understand that Abraham is, he becomes an empowerment to prosper others. Watch this. Because he says, God says, and I will empower to prosper those that empower you to prosper. And I will curse those or stop those from prospering. They try to stop you from prospering. Unto all the families of the earth be blessed. So watch this. So when Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, right? That the blessings of Abraham, we see that the blessings of Abraham, watch this, it's not about Abraham. It's about what God told Abraham. That's why Abraham was able to carry the blessing. So everybody that attached themselves to Abraham were the ones that God has blessed. See, Abraham wasn't responsible for blessing. God was. But they had to attach themselves to Abraham if they want God to bless them. Now, what's the purpose of that? It's because Abraham understood God's agenda. Because he understood God's agenda, people had to attach themselves. If you want to do anything for God in the earth realm, you got to get with somebody who knows his agenda. And a lot of times your faith is not unleashed or unlocked or unfolded until you get attached to somebody who knows God's agenda. This is why the apostolic is important. You seeing this? So my faith, a lot of times my faith ain't fully working until I attach myself to somebody who knows the agenda of God. Once I attach myself to somebody who knows the agenda of God, God's voice gets clearer. Because now my grace, my empowerment can be added to other graces to make something happen in the earth realm. Because let me tell you something. You ain't going to do nothing by yourself with God. I know I'm going over. For somebody, one of the things I ask preachers all the time when I meet them, I'm looking for your heritage. Because if you say God called you and you ain't sat under nobody who God called previously to you, you don't have no clue to what God's agenda is. Because what you're saying is God started talking. God, you the first one God started talking to. So when you come on the scene and you come into the body of Christ, everything going to change because God started talking to you and everybody else doing it wrong. Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
So your assignment is going to be unfolded as you become connected to somebody who has an agenda. That's why your faith can't be focused on what you want. It has to be focused on what he wants, because God is going to direct you. See, God is going to direct you to who you're supposed to be connected to.
Yes.
See, God didn't say, I'm just going to bless people.
Right.
He didn't say that. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless those that. Those that help you do what I've called you to do. I'm going to be responsible for blessing them. That's why you see Lot get in trouble. That's why you see Lot get in trouble, because Lot disconnected from where his faith was. God had connected him to Abraham. God had already had Lot planned, thought out. But when you get disconnected from God's agenda, you no longer have access to God's thoughts, because you don't need access to God's thoughts, because you ain't planning on doing them no way. Does that make sense? We'll continue that next week. Good night. Thank you.